Okay, let's review where we left off, okay? So what case did we leave off with on Thursday? The case was that you have a Gog and a Chatzar that are on the same exact level, okay? Now, the Gemara, again, remember, the Gemara is going back and forth with these Tashmas to try and demonstrate whether Hezek Riyah is Hezek or not Hezek. As I explained both to Yudi before and in general, it's important to keep in mind that the Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek side has like 10 proofs, and the Hezek Riyah Lav Shmei Hezek side also has 10 proofs. Our job is not to get into the machlokas about whether it is or not. It's more about to take up these specific cases the Gemara brings out. So, in this case, the Gemara is saying, I'll show you that Hezek Riyah really is Hezek. And before we review the case, recall, keep in mind that we know by Hezek Rabim, we know that the, like, let's say Times Square, two Chatzar, right? That's like public to private, okay? We also know that bias to Chatzar, the bias definitely is private. That leaves the Chatzar being sort of like a not public area. It's really, when they go into the Chatzar, the owners of the Chatzar cannot really have a true expectation of privacy because it's not a house, right? But they can have some expectation of privacy because it's not like outside, like the public area, right? Okay, so that's what makes this case so intriguing. So now you have the Gog and the Chatzar. So now, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that the guy who owns the Chatzar can force the guy, who has the roof guy, to build some type of mechitza, some type of wall, okay? So, which would imply what at this point? Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek. Because you see, or without defining it, how's the Gemara treating the Gog at this point? What? Right, it has to have some like chutzarish status to it, or else the Havmina makes no sense. So the Gemara is saying, somehow the Gog and what, in other words, you can extrapolate from the Gog to Chatzar, which means they must share some qualities, okay? So the Gemara says no. And this is the counterintuitive part. We didn't focus on this last time. This is where it gets very counterintuitive. Because what does the Gemara say? Shiny Hasam. Damrle Abala Chatzar Labala Gog, Lididik Via Li Tashmishi. Lididach Lok Via Lach Tashmi Tashmishtach. Vladana Behe Idana Slika Vasis. So what does the Baal Chatzar say to Baal Gog? Hey man, I'm in the Chatzar all the time, but I don't know when you're on the Gog. It could be 3 times a week you go up to the Gog. I don't know when that is, right? So because I don't know when that is, I can therefore force you to build a Chatzar. But, a Mechitza. But, okay, what would you think at this point? What should the Gemara now say? If you're telling me that I can force the guy to go ahead, I can force the guy to go ahead and build a mechitza to separate the Gog from the Chatzar, right? Because I can say to the guy who owns the Gog, listen, man, I don't know when you're going to be in the Gog, right? I'm in the Chatzar all the time, right? So I want to protect my interests. So what would you think the Gemara should have said after this? Right. So even more so, you should say that within the Chatzar case, I can force the other guy to do it. Because, if you're telling me, think about this, you're telling me that I can go ahead and force a guy to build a wall, right, because I don't know when he's going to go ahead and be looking in my Chatzar. So wouldn't you say, Kal v'chomer, if I know the guy's always going to be looking in my Chatzar, my side of the Chatzar, I have to be able to force him to build the wall. And yet the Gemara says the opposite. The Gemara says that no, that we extrapolate from this that Hezek Riyah Lashmei Hezek, because the case of Gog is unique, because in the case of the Gog, that case, since it's only on occasion the guy can see me, I can force him to build a wall, but if it's a situation where there's an expectation where you'll always be watching me, then I can't force the guy to build a wall. That the Havmina is saying that I can extrapolate from the Gog case to the Chatzar case, the Maskana, which should continue that line of reasoning, but says the opposite. It says that the Gog case is unique because I can say, if I own the Chatzar and Yudi's the Gog guy, I can say to Yudi, listen, I don't know when you're going to be up there. So I can force Yudi to build a wall. But if we share a Chatzar, then I can't force Yudi to build a wall. A Hezek Riyah wall. Why? Why does that make sense? Right? So I think what Yosef, and I think you were trying to say this, David, is that, see, the Chatzar presents such a unique problem. Because that's why I left it vague for a reason, calling a Chatzar not public, okay? Because the Chatzar, what does the Gog expose as a problem in Chatzar if you are a Hezek Riyah Lav Shmei Hezek guy in the beginning of the Gemara? The problem is that it turns out that a Chatzar is not unique, right? What's just like a Chatzar? A Gog, right? Meaning, we have multiple locales that have in them this, so to speak, non-public aspect to it, right? As you see, the Gog, in the Havmina, the Gog is treated like the Chatzar, right? Which would therefore mean that whatever features the Chatzar has, the Gog has the same thing, right? So at this point, what the Gemara is saying is that if that indeed is the case, so what's it called? So what's the problem here? The problem is that now Hezek Re'iah, right, really should be Hezek, because if I could force the Gog guy to build a wall, he has to build a wall, and we should be able to extrapolate that. So we have a problem now, because the problem is the Chatzar now has been reduced to an indeterminate status. We don't know what it is, right? We know one thing for sure. We know it's not public, right, because of the Hezek Rabim, but it's not quite private either. And then you can start getting into what you're saying, which gets into this business of, well, it could be, in other words, is it indeterminate in the way where in this situation it's private, and that situation is public? The Gemara doesn't want to go down that road. The Gemara throws it out. The Gemara rather would go down the road what Bluth, I think, is saying, which is Tashmish. Why Tashmish? I think what Bluth is saying is correct. In the Havmina, the Gemara is going to say that, well, what should be the barometer? The barometer should be all along. You're right. We don't know what a chatzar is. We know a chatzar is not public, and we know a chatzar is not a bias, right? So there's only one thing we can turn to be a determinant. The only thing we can use to determine how to treat the chatzar is going to be Tashmish. And now the Gemara is going to, I mean, the Maskana is the giveaway, but now the Gemara is going to say there's two ways you can use Tashmish to evaluate what the status of the Chatzar is. Either you can say that in other words, both the Gog and Chatzar, what do they share in common? They're both Mekomos where a guy can do Tashmish. Okay, so Gog is less regular. Who cares? Point is that they're exactly the same, right? There's no Chatzar, there's non-public locales, right? And they're defined by the ability of a person who Tashmish in the locale. So if I can make the guy put up a wall, right, what's that demonstrating? It's minigas Tashmish. So therefore, there's no unique chatzar. It's simply a location where it's not public. And then we have to return to Tashmish to be the determinant. So as long as the minigas Tashmish take place, what's the difference between a gag and a chatzar? But see, what Bluth is trying to do is, and this is the tough part, what Bluth is trying to say is that, no, see, there is some positive chaloshem we can give to these areas. There is something, right? But we can't say it's the potential of Tashmish. Rather, what we could say is that, I'm going to say similar to what you're saying, but a little bit different, which is that there's different types of Tashmish, okay? Now, you would think types of Tashmish is defined by what I do in the Chatzar. But that's not true. Rather, what Bluth is saying is that you could say that the commonality of usage of the Chatzar is a type of Tashmish. So if I use the chutzar often, that's one kind of tashmish, right? But then if a gag is not used often, that's a different kind of tashmish, right? So you can't, all the Gemara can tell you is you can't extrapolate one from the other. You're right, Bluth is going to say, so there's no, like what Clara is saying, there's no expectation of privacy in the chutzar. But the reason why is because the nature of what we do in the chutzar is stuff all the time. That's a different kind of tashmish than gag tashmish, which is rarely do stuff in there, okay? So ultimately the Gemara is telling you is that we don't know what a chatzar is. We can't give a chatzar ultimately as a makom a specific status. All we can do is we can turn to tashmish and use the way this makom is used to determine what it is. But you can never say in the makom itself there's some sort of property. A bias, you could say that. A bias, you could say, doesn't matter in a bias. Let's say I lived in a house. Let's say I lived in a private house, but I wore burkas all day, okay? So you wouldn't say now that the bias is a different kind of makom. Bias, by definition, is private. And Times Square is by definition public. But all the Gemara was struggling to figure out what's a chatzar. So it kept pushing us to each end. Can you define a chatzar as like a private type of area, or is it more like a public type of area? Can't determine it, right? Because it's indeterminate, only one thing we can do. We can't go to what the makom is. We have to turn to Tashmish as our guide. Tashmish, how I use a makom will determine what it is. Okay, now when it comes to how you use a makom, now there's two possibilities. Is it the potential usage per se? Then the gag and a chatzar are the same. Or no, it's the frequency of use of makom gives it a certain kind of tashmish. So in a chatzar, since I use that makom all the time, right, is there any expectation of privacy? No. The idea of privacy is removed, not from the makom itself. It's saying that I can't force you to build a wall because I use the place all the time. But by a gag, right, by a situation of a gag where it's not used all the time, that type of tashmish does not produce, well, in the case of neighboring chatzar, would produce a chiyuv of building a wall. You understand? And what I'm trying to show you is that the Gemara, the overall flow of the Gemara is to move us away from a chaloshim makom into more of an idea of tashmish itself. Chatzars and gogs and places like that don't have a unique identity. That's the point. It's the usage that tells me what to do. So really in the Maskana, a gog and a chatzar are really no different at the end of the day, right? insofar as the definition of makom is concerned. But what I can say is, oh, because I use this place a lot, that'll change whether it has a gri as a chiyah versus not using a lot. That's an excellent question. The question then becomes, right, in other words, it really becomes, and that's why, again, Hezekiah is tough. It really becomes a very subjective issue. Meaning halacha can come along and say that in chatzers, right, there's no expectation of privacy. And in gags, but chatzers next to each other. A chatzer next to a gag, there is an expectation. Now, you're right. A good question that's going to come up is, well, what if you have an area where, let's say, the guy's there, I don't know, 5 days a week, right? Is that considered, you know what I mean? That's a great question. But that's something halacha will have to deal with. You know what I mean? Point is that God, all we know now about Tashmish is we can say there's frequent and infrequent. It's a great question when you leave the infrequent zone, enter the frequent zone, you know? And I think part of it also go based on asking the individual. Like when you go into this area, what's your expectation when you go into this area? But that's the key. It's what my expectation of privacy is. It's not the makom. You understand? You know what I mean? Chatzar means an area where it's indeterminate what the level of privacy is. That's the key. Excellent point. The Hezekiah Shmei Hezek group, that group of people, would definitely go down the road of saying that, no, a chatzar, there's an intrinsic definition of a makam chatzar. They would have to say that. 100%. 100%. See, the Hezek Lashmei Hezek people, Hezekiah Lashmei Hezek, that's more of a challenge. But the Hezek Shmei Hezek people for sure would say that by chatzar. 100%. 100%. Now comes a low-hanging fruit case, okay? This is an easy hobby in Maskana, I think.
Every time you say that, I just can't
believe it. Lefikach. All right, Dalet Amal Aleph. So we're skipping ahead because the Gemara goes through a tremendous amount of technical detail, which I don't think would be too entertaining to you guys. But yeah, no. So the next main point the Gemara takes up is in Dalet Amal Aleph. So it says, Lefikach im nafal kosal. So when we did the Mishnah, we asked this question. Well, I don't understand. In other words, if we build the wall's built in the middle of the chatzer, and it falls down, of course, what are we going to say? That the leftover rubble is, what do you call it? It belongs to both of us. What's your havamina? What? Oh, the space. Right. Okay. Right. Yes. So meaning... No. Let's create like a hypothetical. Right. Let's make a simple, like a pure and easy case. Like the wall falls down in a way where it's an equal amount of rubble on each side, and there's no wall left. So the in fact, imagine a wall fell down like this. Like it went like this. So now the makom between the two is open, and the rubble's on each side. Yeah. So where's this pshita? Of course it's pshita. How could you possibly argue that the what's your havmina here? Of course the stones belong to both of them. Okay? All right, go ahead. Okay, so what's the case? Okay, now let's take the wall. We're going back to Yudi Nai's wall. And now the wall falls completely into Yudi's side. Okay? All right. So the Gemara says, Inami, or the other way to learn is,
Inami, Minhu Chad
Day. What does that mean? Right, or the other possibility is that it fell down the middle, and then Yuri came along and kind of like, you know, when I wasn't looking, nudged all the stones to his side. So either it happened naturally, the stones fell on Yuri's side, or Yuri encouraged the stones to fall on to be on his side. Okay, so Mao the same. Okay, so this yeah. You should fall off your chair when you read this, because exactly. Thank you. Because what the Gemara, okay, we're all familiar with the principle of a moti mechaber alavaraya, right? Meaning that, okay, it means basically the burden of proof is on you, on the other guy. I mean like this. Meaning, let's say the stones are on Yudi's side, okay? So we're saying, what would you think? Well, now there's evidence that all along those stones for the wall were Yudi stones. Because they're on his side of the property, or his side of the chatzar. So of course they were Yudi stones. So therefore I'd have to bring a proof, some evidence to demonstrate that Yudi's claim is not an invalid claim. Okay? Kamash Malan what? But 1 second, what kind of... No, what? No, we can't... Okay, no, but that's not true. We know, most right. It's saying that... We don't say that here. Right, we default, right, exactly, we default that there's some type of chazaka here that it belongs to both. What's going on here? What's going on? What's the Havmin Maskana? I think what they're saying is good. In other words, the Havmin is definitely going to say, you have to say this, that what's the wall doing? The wall straddles the line between the two sides of the chatzar, okay? Which means that if that's what it's doing, that means there, you can argue that there's a bile, each one has a bilus on the half of the stone, so to speak. Meaning, I don't care physically half of the stones. The point is that it's a co-bilus, right? I own part of the stones, you own part of the stones. If that's true, in the Havmina, if that's true, if each of us has a discrete bilus that we're expressing on the stones, then you can start playing around with issues of like, well, one second, maybe it was my stones all along. See, the idea of Motzi B'Chavira Olav Araya is that there has to be something for Yudi to make his claim based on. So you can say, if there is half bilus, so to speak, now I can make the claim of full bilus. But there's a reality of some bilus that Yudi has on the stones. So that's why the Gemara has such a Havamina. But I'm just going to say, no! I think this is what David is saying is correct. It's not that I own it and Yudi owns it. Rather, remember I told you guys in the beginning, way when we did the Mishnah, what happens to that area between the two chatzers? What does it become? Remember the term I used? Yeah, you stink. What? No man's land, like Switzerland. No man's land, meaning what you're doing is when you and I build the wall, what we're really saying is that neither of us have bilus on the stone. They're like the other stones. They're the others, right? Is that the term you used?
I don't think so.
Oh, whatever. Okay, fine. In other words, the point is that it's not that they're my stones and Yudi's stones. They're our stones, okay? If our stones means that there's no discrete bilus anymore. What? To some extent. Yeah. Right, so Yudi, neither Yudi nor me have a chelik in the stones themselves. They're our stones. Like it's almost lahavdil. It's almost like the idea of like a tarovis or like basar v'chalav. There's meat and there's milk. When I cook them together, right, it's a whole new entity called basar v'chalav. Our building of the wall means the wall now is a whole new thing. It's our wall. It's not my wall and your wall. Because if it was my wall and your wall, then you have a claim you can make. Because if the wall's on your side, well, it's not like there was no bilus to speak of, right? But if you say all along it was our wall, then there's never a point in time that you could say any part of that wall belonged to you. It didn't. It's our wall. You know what I mean? It's a different way of looking at walls. Okay? Yeah. So that's why when the wall falls down, it just reverts back to the chazaka that we built the wall together. Because that's what it was all along. It's our stones. So remember the Mishnah said, V'chein Begina, right? V'chein Begina. Makom Shinagu Ligdor Mechayven Oso. Okay, so what did the Mishnah say? Let's just make sure we get our facts straight. The Mishnah said what? The Mishnah said, one second. Okay, the Mishnah said, v'chein begina. Okay, so as well with the garden, right? And then it says, makom shenagu ligdor machai venoso. So v'chein begina, and then it says, in a place where the makom, the minog is to make the, let's say the wall, You obligate him to. Aval bebika, when it comes to a, we'll call that a wheat field, okay? Makom shenagu shalolik dor ein mechayven oso, okay? But by bika, if the makom, in a makom where the minag is not to make a geder, you don't make him do it. So that language is very difficult, as the Gemara is about to expose. I mean, the Gemara says, ha gufa kasha. That's very bad. In the Mishnah, we have a ha gufa kasha. What does the Gemara say? Amris. Okay, so if it says, if the Mishnah says, right, b'makom shenagu ligdor mechayven oso, so let's say we have a gina. Let's say my gina is next to Shua's gina, and we live in a town where the minog is to make a geder. Well, if in Chashmonim the minog is not to make a geder, and David and Bluth have two ginas next to each other, they don't have to do it. So if you say makom shenagu mechayven oso, the implication therefore is makom shelo nagu lo mechayven oso. I think that's a very reasonable conclusion to make, right, Yosef? Right? Okay. So it says makom shenagu mechayven oso, in a place where the minhag is to do X, we make him do it. If the minhag is not to do X, you don't make the guy do it.
To not do X or not? Okay.
And then ema seifa. Ema Seifa. Hastama. But in a Bika, where it says, in a Bika, it says, if the Minag is not to do it, right, Ema Chayven Oso, So what's the implication from that? In a bikkur, if the minhag was to build it, you would force a guy to do it. Okay, so what's the problem? Why is this a problem? Why is this a kasha? At this point, why is it a kasha? Be quiet. So the Gemara, oh, one second. So Hashda, read the Gemara.
Hashda, Sam Hina.
Amris Lo. What does that mean?
So by Sam Hina, say that you wouldn't have to.
Okay, so there's a piece of information without Rashi, with no idea what the Gemara is talking about. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hashda, Sam Hina, Amris Lo. Riyasa, Kasha. All right, here comes another variable. Gemara loves throwing us curveballs. You need Rashi. You understand it's not Rashi. What's Rashi saying? Rashi introduces a variable we never thought of before. Okay? Or maybe we thought of. No, we have Hezek Riya. Not that part. What's Rashi saying? What does that mean? Okay, so the Hezek Riya of a garden is worse than the Hezek Riya of a bikkah.
Oh,
all right, fine, whatever. Yes. But the point is that whatever makes it worse, okay, the Hezek Re'iyah of a garden, right, according to Rashi, is worse than the Hezek Re'iyah of a bikkah. So now this is where the kasha comes in. Hashta sam gina amris lo. Right, you're going to tell me that by the case of a gina, you're going to tell me where the Hezek Re'iyah of a gina is worse than the bikkah. You're going to tell me where there's no minhag to build a wall, you don't have to make the guy do it, right? And stam bika mi baya? And then what? What's the second part of the kasha? It's not as strong of a kasha as you'd want a hagufa kasha to be, just to be clear, okay? You have to dig out from Rashi to understand why it's a kasha, but it's not like a, you know, slam dunk kasha. Listen to the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, v'chei megina makam shenagol ligdur mechai venoso, okay? So Gina, now plug in Rashi. Gina, which has, let's make up a Hezek Re'iyah scale, 1 to 10, okay? A Gina has a level 9 Hezek Re'iyah.
One second.
No, that's not the question. One second. Makom Shenagu Mechayim Enoso, okay? So the Stam case by Gina, where Gina is the higher level of what? Of Hezek Re'iyah. In that case, Mechayim Enoso. And then the Mishnah says, Alav Bika, which is what? A lower case of it's like level 3 Hezek Re'iyah. The Mishnah says, Makom Shenagu Shelo Ligdor Ein Mechayim Enoso. So why is that strange? Knowing that a Gina, again, the Gina case, right? The Gina case, more Hezek Re'iyah, and the Mishnah says, Mechayim Enoso, right? Case of Bika, right? Whereas less Hezek Re'iyah, the Mishnah says, Ein Mechayim Enoso. What's the problem? Why is that a problem? What's the chiddush of the Bika case, according to the Mishnah? If we know that Bika has less Hezek Re'iyah than the Gina, right? So why would the Mishnah ever have to tell us that by a Bika, right, where the Minhag is not to build together, there are Ein Mechayim Enoso? Isn't that Pshita?
Yeah.
That's Pshita.
Yeah.